Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll find out if Wilbon was surprised by anything at all, and we'll talk with Pat Forty about what's going on with Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. But first, commerce.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And I'm not responsible for anything that comes out of my nose the next 9 minutes. My mouth, yes, but my nose is on another plane.
So this is something that's very important. You know, most people, most radio shows or podcasts or whatever these things are, would have, of course, excised all of that and would have stitched it differently and nobody would have heard the sneezing.
Post-production, I think they call it.
But this show doesn't do that.
Ride it out, baby.
No. If you're going to sneeze.
Tony, you know what you do? You keeps it real, brother. That's why I love it.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. Well, we'll get to betting on Wednesday. We'll review everybody's bets. Nobody did really well. Nobody at all.
There's great games, though, yesterday.
There are 1 o'clock five hour? Different games. Five different games that ended with walk-off field goals, which Scott Hansen on Red Zone said was a record.
Oh.
Five like that. Detroit won. Arizona and Detroit. Now, Detroit was interesting for this reason. And this does have to do with betting, so I will get to this. We had Chuck Todd got Detroit at -2.5. So that's a win.
Oh,
that's
sure.
A 3-point win, right?
Yep.
But James, making up his own line, got Detroit at -3. So that's even.
So that's a push.
That's a push. Jeff Ma, who knows about all these things, had the Chargers at +3.
So that's a push.
Chuck Todd was the only one who got that, and Chuck Todd did not have a good week. 3-4 did not have a good week. But we had Detroit winning.
It's the power
Arizona,
of the early line.
And Kyler Murray came back.
Yep.
And was pretty good.
Yeah.
And Arizona won that game. Did Arizona beat Atlanta? Atlanta's pathetic.
Yeah.
Atlanta is pathetic. Every time they show a shot of the head coach, Arthur Smith, whose dad is the CEO of FedEx. He's got the play thing right in front of him, and he's looking down at he's always looking down at the play sheet. And I've seen Atlanta lose like 3 times this year in the last 10 seconds. I mean, he's not going to have another year, Arthur Smith. It's a bad division, so they still have potential to get in the playoffs, but it looks bad. Cleveland, I thought they were hopelessly out of the game.
Yeah, down like 17-3.
Maybe Cleveland is good.
Yeah.
Cleveland came back, and they beat Baltimore. Houston, and I know you're going to tell me, oh, C.J. Stroud. Hold on a second, Sparky, on C.J. Stroud, because he threw a bad interception late in the game. And Cincinnati should have won that game. And their receiver dropped a pass in the end zone that would have won that game with, I don't know, 25 seconds to go.
Bounce on the rim.
And they had to kick a field goal, and then they lost. And Seattle, at the end against Washington, Seattle got a field goal to walk off. And it's like apparently never happened. I would tell you that both Cincinnati and Baltimore losing, every single team in that division is still .500 or better. It's the best division.
How about
in
that
football.
Thursday night game?
That sets up the one Thursday night game so far this year that you would say, I want to see this game. That is Cincinnati at Baltimore, which I think now is an elimination game for Cincinnati.
Ooh.
If they lose, I think they're out. Yeah. If Baltimore loses, not so much. So I think that would be a game that that Uncle Big Al would be happy to watch. How is Minnesota winning? Josh Dobbs again.
We believe.
An aerospace engineer, Josh Dobbs again, is winning games there. They don't have the guy they're paying $3,000 billion to, and Josh Dobbs is in there for free. Patriots are terrible. 6 points in Germany against Indianapolis, a bad team. Patriots are terrible.
Yes, they are.
And to me, the most important game, oh, you know who else is terrible? The Giants are terrible.
Oh, yeah, they're done.
They're so terrible.
Yeah.
The most important result to me, and I don't know if we'll get to a question like this on PTI later, was San Francisco going to Jacksonville and crushing Jacksonville.
Oof. Yeah.
And Brock Purdy having a clean game. No turnovers at all. They beat Jacksonville by 30 points in Jacksonville. That, to me, is the most significant result of the day. The other most, if you want to go to colleges, well, we're going to have Pat Forty. But we'll certainly ask Pat Forty at great length about what is going on with Michigan and Harbaugh. And now we have to ask about Jimbo Fisher.
My God. $76 million.
How much money does Texas A&M have in a box?
Apparently a lot.
They signed this guy for $70 million years back, six, seven years back, whatever it was. Then they extended him a couple of years ago. Now they fire him in the middle of a season and they owe him $76 million?
Yeah.
What? That, who's going to write that check? Somebody.
Get him working in the engineering building.
Some of the alums are going to write that check.
Oh, yeah, the boosters.
I would never let him coach. I would say, no. If you coach again, you forfeit all of this.
Yeah.
No, you can sit down and
I think you
can
work forfeit
with Wood.
Your career for $76 million.
Yeah, you can sit down and work with Wood and you can go work at Walmart. I don't care, but you're not coaching again. Not for this amount of money.
Go coach high school football somewhere.
Unbelievable. Is he that bad? He won a national championship with Jameis Winston, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he win one at Florida State?
Yeah.
Isn't that why they got him?
This just seems personal, the same way you saw with the Raiders. You want to make a statement.
So the Raiders, that game, I didn't watch one play of that game. Raiders and Jets?
Putrid.
Not watching that. They both stink. But Antonio Pierce just went one up on Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? He just won his second game. Is it that easy? Really?
Well,
when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't want to get too bogged down in this. Is it that easy? You just get rid of James Harden and you don't lose anymore? It's that easy? I mean, guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Wow. Now, one other thing to talk about. I don't know if – I'm sure everybody knows what kind of toothpaste they use. Michael, what kind of toothpaste do you use?
Oh, I used to use Crest as a kid, but I have shifted to Colgate in my adult age. But now you have to the follow-up is, do you use paste or the gel?
And what do you use?
I think I'm now – again, I grew up with the paste, and now I'm gel.
Okay. Nigel?
Sensodyne.
Because you use Sensodyne.
I do.
That's old school.
Okay. Did you grow up with Sensodyne?
No, I was a Crest kid over in England. Somehow that got introduced to me, and I love Crest. Then briefly Colgate, and then switched over to Sensodyne years ago.
Is there any other toothpaste other than Crest and Colgate, by the way? There used to be something called Pepsodent.
Oh, sure. I remember Pepsodent.
Is it still out there? I don't know.
I'm sure Oral-B
is probably an
Arm
& Hammer toothpaste.
Yeah, there's all sorts of organic ones that you can get.
Okay,
things like that.
So, I grew up with Colgate. I remember having Colgate as a kid, and then I remember when I started to buy my own toothpaste, I went to Crest. That's the opposite of you, Michael. I went to Crest. And I always went for the paste.
Regular paste.
The blue-colored paste that over the years, now I'm talking about over 50 years now.
It got too sweet.
Okay, probably close to 60 years, and I would always get, as recently as a month ago, I would go buy boxes of Crest Original Flavor Tartar Control. It's all I wanted. I tasted mint. I hated it. I tasted gel. I hated it. Last time I was in Rehoboth, I went to the CVS. Crest has rebranded itself. Crest now, at least in this particular store on Route 1, close into Rehoboth Beach, at least in this store, they no longer had boxes of toothpaste that I was used to. You could not get Tartar Control. Nothing said Original. And I wanted Original. And I had to buy toothpaste. And I ended up buying something. Not only is it a gel and whitening, and I didn't want any of these things. I didn't want the gel. I didn't want the whitening. I don't have any of my own original teeth. So I didn't, it's not going to whiten the stuff I got. So I didn't want any of that. And I just wanted paste. And this is, it's not even paste. It, 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 you, You stand it up on its cap. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Vertical toothpaste.
I hate it.
So in the 90s,
it.
They had a pump toothpaste like that, which I'm sure was terrible for single-use plastics.
I know
the tube that you are missing.
I hate it.
And the worst part about a second home toothpaste is you are now stuck with this toothpaste.
Forever. I brought one here to try.
Yeah.
I brought one home to try.
Yeah.
Yes, it was in a tube.
That's commitment.
I can't stand it. And I want to know, is this happening throughout the whole country? Did Crest rebrand? Just send us some emails. From wherever you are, as long as it's not here, did Crest rebrand around the whole country? Where do I go to get Crest original light blue toothpaste tartar control?
Oh,
that's cavity preventative. Mm. Where do you get it?
I'm on Amazon right now.
I have to go to Amazon for this.
Jeff Bezos has it for you.
This drives me nuts. I've been using this my whole life. I like it. Well, why did you change it?
So you'll stockpile boat shoes, but you don't have the vision to worry about your toothpaste.
Well, I didn't know. I bought four at one time at one point, but then I ran out. Mm. Then I ran out. Like, they last about a month, right? A tube of toothpaste,
well,
3 weeks to a
month.
Well,
considering that you brush your teeth and then used to give the dog her own sampling of the toothpaste.
Well, I also use, my toothbrushing thing, I brush my teeth manually and then I use an electric toothbrush. So I do those things. I mean, I brush my teeth like 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah, okay, 3 to 4. That makes sense because a month seems on the shorter end of that.
Is that right?
Well, are you quick to throw out the tube, or do you need to do the
roll? I go
roll
all the way to the end.
All the way.
Okay.
Yep. I go all the way to the end.
I think
end
a toothpaste is done.
Like
I'm trying to throw it out, and then magically somehow it ends up back on the counter.
So I'd like to know, where can I get Sky Bars?
Right.
Who's making old-fashioned toothpaste? Where can I get Colgate regular paste?
Oh, this is Crest.
Crest regular paste, squeeze from the bottom. Not this junk that you turn over, you know, it's not a tube. What is it called?
It's like a pump.
This sort of the one that you're looking for?
No, the one that I have that I don't like.
It's a tube.
But it's upside down. You don't lay it down.
Yes, so you want the horizontal regular toothpaste.
I want the American toothpaste that people have for 60 years.
But not the Colgate that was spicy.
Can I introduce you to some tooth powder?
I don't want that. I've tried that in my life. Didn't like it.
How about some pumpkin spice Crest?
Don't want it.
Now, is your mouthwash still safe?
Yeah, Listerine. Still looks good. They haven't repackaged it. They still have the green. They have green. They got blue. They got yellow. They got a variety of colors.
Do you go alcohol-free or without
alcohol? Can handle the green.
I don't care. I don't even know about that.
In your age, you don't have to go down to the purple?
No, I don't think so. They have purple
also.
That's a little weaker. What is it, like Gatorade? What is it?
There's different strengths.
What?
Yeah.
Just make one. It's a good one.
This was not an inventory issue because CVS throughout all areas has had to change the way that they stock their stores. So this wasn't just, you know, they only have a third of the toothpaste offerings.
I don't know where to go to get the toothpaste that I want. What does toothpaste cost? About $4?
I'd say $5. $5,
$4 or $5?
That's if you're buying a single tube.
Do they have it on Amazon? They have the toothpaste I want?
I will keep looking.
It is Tartar Control Original Paste. All right. I've lost my voice. We'll take a break. Michael Wilbon when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Scott Organic, who writes, "Long time Little here. You and the crew have unknowingly helped me through a tough 18 months with the loss of both my parents, several other losses that rocked me pretty hard, and the recent news that my sister is ill. Thankfully, it seems she'll be okay. Your humor and the fact that I've had 2 emails read this year, eat it, Dave Patton, have brought much needed light to these hard times. My wife's family owns a horse farm in Spencer, Massachusetts, with several hay fields. We both help work the hay fields every summer, and one of the hay team, Cat Stewart, is an independent music artist. I've included below a message giving permission for you to play her songs. Hope you'll consider playing one or both songs. She's a wonderful person with a beautiful voice. This is Cat Stewart from Massachusetts. This is called Pass Me By. It plays in Michael Wilbon, who is out in Arizona. And I'm just going to start. I mean, I'm going to start with the NFL. What did you think of both Cincinnati and Baltimore losing on last-second field goals?
It's surprising.
Yeah. I
mean, watching those games unfold. But both Baltimore and Cincinnati had gotten control of the game. Baltimore more than Cincinnati.
Cincinnati should have won the game. The guy dropped a pass in the end zone.
Yeah, but even that would have been Tony winning the game by one score.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's not – I keep saying there's not a great team, and there isn't. But there are a lot of good teams. There's several good teams.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad teams.
A lot of bad teams, several good ones. And Cincinnati, I think we all presumed was going to join the ranks of the
– Yes.
Cincinnati and Baltimore were poised to be called.
That's Thursday night, this Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were poised to be called – well, they're the best team in the league. They were poised to have that.
Yeah.
And they can't have it this week. Not that it matters this week. But it was interesting to watch both those games unfold.
Yeah, is it possible? I mean, I don't want to believe this. Is it possible that Cleveland is really good?
Yeah. Yeah, when you have a defense that's the best in the league, why wouldn't you be any good? Cleveland's defense is every bit good as Baltimore's.
Both those teams scored a lot of points yesterday.
But it still starts. If those teams are going to have any kind of chance at the season. Look, the Cleveland may have the MVP of the league.
It's remarkable to me. I mean, I will also say that San Francisco restored my faith in San Francisco to go on the road and beat a 6-2 team, right? You must have felt the same way.
They recovered. That's all they did. I'm not going any further than that. You know, they recovered nicely. And Jacksonville is not ready for prime time yet, but they're on their way.
Right.
But I don't see that much separating those teams from, if you still think that one is Philly, which I do. And I don't know, maybe two is Detroit. Maybe Detroit's, I know they just had to eke it out yesterday, but the back and forth of that and watching the Lions come out on top in that situation was a very un-Lion-like.
Let me talk about the Lions for a second, because that is a tie game. And a field goal is going to win it, and Dan Campbell wants to bleed the clock as much as he can. But with a minute and a half left on a 4th-and-2, he went for it. I understand it worked out. He went for it on 4th-and-2 rather than the field goal, and I sat there and I went, wow, I don't think I would have done that. Would you?
How long was the field goal? I don't remember.
It would have been like 40 yards.
Yeah, I think I'd have taken it. But here's the thing. Tony, what Dan Campbell could see in live time, and he didn't need much of the way of analytics to figure this out, his team could not stop.
Yes, they could not stop Chargers.
So, Chargers. The Chargers couldn't stop them. So with that in mind, I mean, that's as much why he did it as anything else, is that, okay, you know, my defense stinks, at least in this circumstance, in the context of this game today. We cannot stop them. So let's wind up winning the game.
So what happened was Goff went over the top to the tight end. And Goff has become a good quarterback, hasn't he?
Goff's been a good quarterback already.
He was the overall number one pick and didn't work
Goff's
out with the Rams. And now it works.
A lot of people that folks slurp who've never been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's been. He's been to the Super Bowl, yeah. I'll stay with your division. How is Minnesota winning?
Well, it's like last year.
Oh, we've lost you.
This guy, I mean, he's the number one story in the league again this week.
Josh Hodges, yes, yes.
One, number one. Doing what he did, just to watch that unfold and listen to him after the game talk about how grateful he is to have the chance. There's some people worth rooting for. It doesn't mean they're going to win. But Joshua Dobbs is worth rooting for, and so is Bryce Young. And I don't know that Bryce Young will ever be any good.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I watch him in the pain that he's in right now, losing these games, as a guy who's won a national championship and won. Did he win a national championship? Maybe he didn't.
No, he did not win.
He won at the highest level. Heisman Trophy winner. they're interesting stories. And Joshua Dobbs, wow, how about him?
I'll add another person to that. Somebody who did win a national championship and whose pro career has now had him benched three different times this year, Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a smart kid, and he's a great talker. And it's awful. And it leads me into this. Do you think Belichick will be back with them next year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything.
Right. Neither do I. No, that's why we do a show.
I don't know anything. Should he be? I mean, if I was Robert Kraft, I might say enough now. Mm. We've seen enough of this. I don't have any, sort of sense of what it is that Bill Belichick wants to do. If you're in other cities, and you and I talked about this on Friday, other cities, there's always a story popping up in multiple places about Bill Belichick coming to coach their team. And I'm like, no, I'm not hiring Bill Belichick at this stage. To come for what? He's not going to create a culture at 70, whatever, what is he, 71, 72?
71.
He's not creating that now out of nothing in a new place, in a new stop. So, no, I'm not. It's over. It's fine. He's earned the title greatest coach of all time as far as I'm concerned.
He's earned it. All right, I'll move on to another one of your teams. Kyler Murray looked good.
He did.
He looked good. Everybody assumed, you assumed they were terrible and it wouldn't matter and they'd get a high pick. But what if Kyler Murray turns it around a little bit?
Yeah, Kyler Murray has looked great before.
Right.
That's what he does. He's got some skills. Man, he was that long run he had.
Yes.
And you're coming off of.
That was like a 200-yard run.
It's like, oh my God, what a spectacular thing.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great to watch that. Do I think the Cardinals are now going to, rip off four or five in a row? No, I don't. No, sorry. I just don't.
What about Washington? I know you like Ron Rivera from the 85 Bears.
Yes, I do.
I don't think he can keep his job.
Didn't they just win yesterday?
No, they lost at the buzzer to Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Oh, my God, the back and forth.
Yes.
That was fun, too.
Yes. When Sam Howell threw that last touchdown pass, that was really good.
What's Washington? Are they 4-5? What is their record?
4-6 now.
It's going to be hard to keep, but I don't want to rule him out yet. I don't know what's going to happen in some of these wild card situations. I think there are too many good wild card teams. I mean, Minnesota, is like two games ahead of the Washington team now. In the NFC for wild card, so you got some situations like that. You got the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, the Cowboys beat a terrible. It's such a terrible.
Yeah,
team.
But I'm just talking about where they are
right.
in the mix for
right.
playoffs. They're
right.
they're multiple games ahead of Washington.
Yeah,
so that's right. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, that was one of those games where wow, the field goal walk off situation was sort of amazing yesterday. So. Yeah, I mean, the Washington is just, they're not good enough.
No.
They're not good enough. They can beat some bad teams, but they're just sort of eh. And maybe he won't keep his job. I root for him to keep his job. That's personal for
me. Yeah, you like him.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
I'm going to go to the NBA for one question, and I'm going to do it this way. For the second week in a row, Antonio Pierce won a game. Now, okay, the Jets stink. They stink, but he won the game. He didn't lose the game. And you ask yourself, is it that simple? So here's my question. Is it that simple that getting rid of James Harden has somehow made the Philadelphia 76ers better?
There's a chain of events, Tony. One of them is Tyrese Maxey.
Is good.
Is a stud.
Yeah.
I believe he had something that we call yesterday 50.
Yeah. Hey,
Tyrese Maxey is everything James Harden is not. Tyrese Maxey may never be as great individually a ball player as James Harden. But Tyrese Maxey's a guy you want on your team. Tyrese Maxey had tears, real tears, when Doc Rivers was fired. And Tyrese Maxey's primary thought was, oh my God, I know I'm playing with the MVP, but I also got this other selfish you-know-what, and I'm stuck with this. Well, now he's not. And he's freed up to be a professional. So that is taking the ball out of James Harden's hand and giving it to someone who's a professional, who's a teammate. And you got Tobias Harris, who is now, look, when you get rid of Harden, Tony, you're getting rid of the guy who last year, other than Luka Doncic, had the ball in his hands more than any player in the NBA. And he's playing with the MVP.
Right.
All right? So you got rid of this. I mean, he is as selfish as any player who's ever lived. And there were times where James Harden alone could make you a threat.
Yes.
To win.
That's right.
And now the Clippers are 0-4 or 0-5. Oh, it's so great. It's so great. And I say that. I love T. Lou. I know him. I root for him in every other possible circumstance. T. Lou, you know this. You know how I feel about T. Lou.
I do.
I right now, all you can say is, Tony, when the Sixers got James Harden, Doc Rivers knew that day it was going to cost him his job, and it did. Now, T. Lou will have another job anywhere else he wants it if this doesn't work. It may cost him his job. But I don't think the Clippers can compete for anything with James Harden. And so it's one of the NBA is so – the NBA, I, as much as I love professional basketball, I often am not paying attention to the NBA in November. There's so many great storylines in the league, and one of them is James Harden. One of them, though, Tony – the Phoenix Suns are in trouble. They're in trouble, and they haven't even had their three best players together for a single game yet. And they're in trouble. They lost to Oklahoma City last night, who's another one of those great stories. Tony, Chet Holmgren has an impact on the game right now.
Is he good?
Even more than Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, there's some storylines out there, but, man, you got the war. I mean, Harden. Wow. I mean, if you're Philadelphia,
you're like 7 or 8-1, and it's the only difference is no Harden. All right, I'll talk to
That's
you later.
Right. All right,
go back to sleep.
Yep.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we'll take a break. Pat Forty joins us. We will talk about Michigan, but we also have to talk about Jimbo Fisher. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Cat Stewart from Spencer, Massachusetts. She can sing. She's very good.
Yes.
This is called All You Have Is Now. Michael, if people like Cat Stewart want to send in their original music, how do they do that?
Send us music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And she plays in Pat Forty. And I got a million Michigan questions that I worked on. And then Jimbo Fisher got fired. And I just said, well, we got to start with that. Because that's the news. How much money do the alumni have at Texas A&M to eat $76 million after giving this guy a ridiculous contract to begin with and then extending it on a whim, dumping him? How does that work?
Have you checked the crude oil prices lately? That's how it works. They've got oil money down there, and they've got no sense and no shame and no compunction. So $75 million, if that's what it takes, that's what they're doing. Just like SMU, you know, they had a guy pay $200 million or whatever to buy their way into the ACC.
Right.
It's Texas perspective is a little different down there.
Did you see this coming?
Yes, I did. You know, the coming into the season, people were saying that he needed to win 9 games, and I was asking, like, they're not really going to pay $75 million to make him go away, are they? And they're like, yeah, I think we can do it. And then, you know, as they started losing, they were having conversations, and it became pretty clear that they had the money for it. It was just a matter of when, and Sunday was when.
Well, what idiot extended him 2 years ago?
That would be Ross Bjork, the AD, who, yeah, was so smitten by their 9-1 COVID season, in which they lost to a division rival by 4 touchdowns, which didn't exactly indicate that they were on a collision course with the national championship.
Right.
Right. But they Ross Bjork extended him. They were worried that LSU was going to come after Fisher because Ed Orgeron was on thin ice.
Right.
And they panicked, they wildly overpaid, and now here they are.
And they're just going to write a check to this guy. Will we ever see him coach anywhere again?
I can tell you what would happen if you wrote me a check for $75 million.
All right.
You wouldn't hear from me again, man.
That makes sense. All right, let me get to the that may be the biggest story today, but it's not the biggest story. The biggest story, the overarching story in college football is Michigan. Where are we now with Michigan? Where are we?
We are heading towards a temporary restraining order hearing in Ann Arbor on Friday that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are seeking so that he can coach the remainder of the regular season, certainly the Maryland game Saturday. And then, of course, they want him to coach the Ohio State game the week after that. So he was out, obviously, Saturday, leading to one of the most absurdly melodramatic post-game scenes of all time.
Oh, my God. And the assistant coach cursing, yeah, crying. That was weird. Yeah. Very weird.
Like, to the best of my knowledge, Harbaugh is not on his deathbed or trapped in an underground mine, which would be maybe be the only two times that that emotion would have been, you know, understandable. But no, he's been suspended. He's not dying.
All right. Do you think he will get this injunction by a friendly court in Michigan?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Then why couldn't he get it before the Penn State game?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know that. I am not a legal expert, so
right,
my expectation that he will get it is just based on mostly home court. You know, what happened as far as not being able to get that in front of the judge in time Saturday, I don't know. I'm not sure what all was involved there.
That seemed very, very calculated on the part of the Big Ten to do it at such a time on such a day, a legal holiday, that Harbaugh had no recourse. That seemed overly mean to me. How about to you?
I took it that way, that it was calculated. You know, I don't think the timing on that was accidental.
Nope.
And I do think it was, by God, we're going to get one game at least. And then if we lose in court, we got that much out of him. So, I mean, this is extremely bitter, extremely angry, I think, in all directions. The Big Ten, I think, with good reason, felt like this was a pretty egregious breach and wanted to do something about it. Did they overreach? Maybe. But Michigan fighting back the way they did and making it very public by leaking every single thing they possibly could to the media, I think just added to the bad feelings back and forth.
Okay, so let me get to the two hard questions. One is, why Harbaugh and not the team? Why not the team?
Good question. I don't know other than I do not think that they wanted to tell the athletes we're taking away your season. You know, at least this way they still have a chance to compete. And so you take the CEO, so to speak, and say you're responsible, and we're going there. You know, you could have made an argument that what Connor Stallions did was to work directly with the coordinators, and maybe the coordinators get suspended, but there's no neat and easy and tidy way, I think, to put down punishment on this.
Okay. So this is, and I'm not a lawyer either, but this is my feeling. If the Big Ten cannot tie this directly to Jim Harbaugh, if they do not have a person who is willing to say, I gave Jim Harbaugh this information, if they can't find on somebody's phone, this is for Harbaugh, if they can't do that, and I don't think they can, or they would have said they could, I don't believe they should have done this.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a perfectly defensible expectation, I think, out of this. And I don't think they can either. I don't think they have that information.
Yeah.
And my guess is Harbaugh probably didn't know. Do I think nobody knew? No.
No, coordinators knew.
Yeah, well, the coordinators knew Connor Stallions was darn good at his job. Did they have any curiosity to find out how he was good at his job? I don't know. But, yeah, look, I mean, this is sloppy. There's no doubt. This is messy. It was a, you know, to step into the season and do this quickly, relatively, and to get somebody who does have no ties to the likely violations, it creates, that's why we have the backlash that we had.
I don't think for a second that Michigan didn't do this, but I think when you send Harbaugh down, especially when you have a rule in the Big Ten that the head coach is not responsible in the way that the NCAA says it is, it just bothers me. So I'll ask this. Is he better off serving the three now, knowing he's going to get a second shot at Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, regardless of what happens in the regular season game?
Well, he won't, because the Big Ten still has their divisions, which means that whoever wins the East gets the chance to play Iowa and beat them 45-0
Yes,
in the Big Ten championship.
I thought the Big Ten had outlawed that this year.
No, next year. Next year.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So now I understand that.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, him sitting out that game is huge. It's huge. I don't know where this thing is going to go, where it's going to end. But, you know, there's some, and again, law stuff. So, you know, caveat that I may not have my stuff completely airtight. But there's a belief that you could get a 2-week restraining order before you'd have to go have a full hearing. And if you get it on Friday, you get it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Clear through the Ohio State game.
Yeah. What is the percentage chance that Jim Harbaugh would be coaching Big Blue next year?
I think it's less than 50%. You know, this is just, there's been so much. We already know for the last few years he's had interest in going back to the NFL. He's talked to teams. He thought he was going to get a job 2 years ago. And after all this, you know, he might just be saying, I'm tired of it. I'm going back. Now, the question, you know, could he be facing a suspension of any kind in the NFL? I think that there is a belief that Roger Goodell could step in and say, this is not going to be a safe harbor for you, especially in something like a cheating scandal, because, you know, that's not like paying players, and there's no comparison of that in the NFL. If you're cheating trying to get signals at one level, you could be cheating and trying to get signals at the other too. But still, I just get the feeling like the Harbaugh Michigan thing has probably exhausted about everybody involved by now at the school and with him, and maybe it's time to go back to the NFL.
All right, I'll give you the easy questions now. If you were on the committee, would you move Georgia over Ohio State?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I've seen enough from Georgia. They now look like the Georgia I expected them to be. I mean, Mississippi was a top 10 team, and they destroyed Mississippi.
They did. Would you move Washington over Florida State?
Yes, I did.
Me too.
As a matter of fact, yeah.
Me too.
It's tough. I think that, you know, those are two good questions, and we'll see what the committee's response is. But, you know, Washington's body of work, they've got good wins in a tough league. Florida State has done everything it needs to do, but their win over Clemson is devalued, and Florida LSU has three losses, so I'd put Washington ahead of them.
Would you move Alabama over Texas, knowing that Texas beat them in Alabama?
That's a tough one.
That's what they pay me to do, Pat, to ask the tough questions.
That's right. Mm. If I hang up, I don't have to answer, right?
Right.
No. Alabama's playing better than Texas is right now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Alabama looks like Alabama. But, boy, you beat them by 10 points in their home stadium.
That's right. That's right.
That's tough to overcome. I think I would, for now, I would still keep Texas ahead of them. But, you know, if Alabama, obviously, if they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, that's going to change everything.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Plug your podcast for us.
College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel and Ross Dellinger, Yahoo, Apple, Spotify, all those places. We're 1A, you're 1B, or flip it the other way around, either way.
Thanks, Pat. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. All
Pat
right.
Pat 40, boys and girls. We will come back with email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wow. Okay. That's a wow. And I'm going to read the letter from Glenn Winters, the official opera composer of this show from Newport News, Virginia. You guys have been kind enough to play some of my music on this high-quality podcast in the past, and I'm back, but not for more cash. The mailbag jingle has been transformed by numerous littles into music from marching band, high school chorus, raucous blues, and seemingly every other genre possible. But as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. To my knowledge, the jingle has yet to be rendered in the style of Johann Sebastian Bach, and I believe I have that. My submission is a fugue for piano solo. Long story short, a fugue is a musical style that was all the rage around 300 years ago. This piece is an example of three-voice counterpoint, meaning instead of melody and accompaniment, it's three simultaneous melodies, each one stating the same main tune as it enters. The tune I'm using is the first half of the jingle, through the words, emails, faxes, and your notes. I'd like to think Bach himself looks down on me from composer heaven with his blessings. More likely, he's whispering, hey, rum-dum, stay in your lane, Sparky. It's great.
Isn't it?
It's absolutely great.
It really is.
Wow.
Thank you, Glenn.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to play that a lot. That's great. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Got the bagel sandwiches today. Always happy. Excited about that. Bethesda Bagels. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in, and you will be thrilled.
So I ran into this guy, Patrick Holly, who lives close to here.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a friend of Adam Goldberg.
Oh,
who did
Pop-Up Bagels.
Pop-Up Bagels. And right. He stopped me when I was walking the dog to talk to me about Adam and Pop-Up Bagels. Since we got in a whole long bagel conversation.
Great anyway. Bagels.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say Blue Jean Baby, L.A. Lady, seamstress for the band, pretty-eyed, pirate smile, you marry a music man. Ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand, and now she's in me, always with me. Tiny Dancer in my hand. That is Elton John and Bernie Taupin. And that is the main music for the movie Almost Famous.
Great scene, yes.
Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon, Pat Forty. Thanks to our sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple. Leave us a review. From John Fitzpatrick, who has moved away from Washington to Colorado in a town whose name I mispronounced.
It's problematic, yes.
I was glad to hear on last Wednesday's show that you have solved the mystery of pronouncing Lake Orion. Michiganders are surely rejoicing. However, when you read my email later in the same show, I was reminded that my new Colorado hometown's name still confounds you. You gamely tried the soft A of Arvada and the long A of Arvada, but neither is correct. It is simple. Arvada, with the central A being flat, as in the word flat. Arvada. Arvada, then. Arvada or cat. Yeah. Okay. Or even the third A in Appalachia. Okay. So it's Arvada.
Arvada?
I think. We Arvadans salute your efforts. I think I got that right, but I'm not sure. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia. I believe it's actually Argo yourself.
That's how you pronounce
very
it.
Very funny.
What's it mean?
That's very funny.
Argo.
From Carm Real in Lakewood, Colorado, originally from Syracuse. I would like to assure you that the Greater Binghamton Airport is alive and well. All you had to do was check your Google machine. I met the woman whom I'm related to by marriage there while working as an air traffic controller from 1982 through 1987. It was then called Edwin A. Link Field. I remember that. I then spent the next 20 years as a controller at Syracuse Hancock Airport. Could I be considered as the official retired air traffic controller of Tony Cornisher? Yeah. I don't know where I got this from, but I'm pretty sure that they closed the Binghamton Airport at one point for renovations, and I didn't know if it came back, and I also didn't know what the general amount of traffic was there. I don't think there's a
lot. Seems like they fly Delta flights through it.
Yeah, to Detroit, I believe.
Probably maybe, to some hubs.
You know, maybe other places. I don't know. From Todd Reniger, Rich is fun. It really is. So what did I say? I said what?
I think you said that to Evan about his, you know, the...
I said, I hope you get rich.
So yeah, movie script.
Yeah, hope you sell your movie script and you get rich because rich is fun.
Yeah, well, Pablo sent me a note that should be embroidered on a pillowcase.
get to
Will
work, Pablo.
Jay in Mumbai, all the way to Mumbai. On Thursday's show, Evan Drellick tells you he needs someone to write the screenplay for his book. If only there was a friend of the show who was a writer, director, and producer. Come on, man, what are we even doing here? Yeah, and Greg's allowed to work. Now.
Yes, that's right.
He's allowed to work.
Everything's been settled.
He's busy writing songs for Dan
Berg. I wrote
him
a note about the about the song that he wrote, that Dan Byrne put to music about Jason Lockenfors' sneeze. And I just said, it's completely brilliant. I mean, both people involved in this are completely brilliant.
I know.
It's just wonderful.
So should they write a musical together?
They should.
Oh, I would love that.
They should write a musical. Yeah, it's been it'd be good. From Murray Moman in Winnipeg, in Canada, in Manitoba province, Dolly Parton starred with Sylvester Stallone in the 1984 comedy, comedy in quotes, Rhinestones. Reviews are not fantastic. But even better, from a Morning Brew newsletter I received this week, my name isn't spelled with a Z. It's Streisand, like sand on the beach. How simple can you get? When Barbara Streisand heard Siri mispronounce her last name, she did what any person with a shopping mall in their basement would do. She called Apple CEO Tim Cook. She called the CEO and asked him to fix it.
Yeah.
As the legendary singer tells it, Cook was lovely and took care of the problem for her. I guess that's one perk of fame. Barbara Streisand, that's just, and it's a CNN story.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's just wonderful.
The boys have discovered your Amazon Alexa out at the beach.
Ooh.
Oh, and great fun.
Oh, that's fun.
Very polite,
good.
Might I add.
That's good. And from Patrick Sitter, our friend in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, worst 70 songs, anything by Barry Manilow. Having said that, however, I'm somewhat embarrassed to admit I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for Mandy. All right. So now I'm going to tell a story, a very, very small story having to do with that. That's the first time I've seen that. I have history with Barry Manilow, not that pleasant, although it makes me laugh.
State lines?
Yeah, it makes me laugh. But I will say about Barry Manilow, as I've always said, I thought his writing was just terrific. I mean, I think the words to Copacabana are spectacular. And I think a lot of the stuff he did, while it is sort of treacly, in its own way, it has a great personalized style that if you like it, you can bathe in it for hours.
Yes.
And I have in my car, I've got, I guess, what a lot of people have, that XM radio, Sirius XM radio. And there's a bunch of channels that you go through. And now, in recent days, they've shifted numbers around. So something I used to like is now way down the list. And that's just too complicated.
The decades are still where they are, though.
But it's just too complicated for me. Mm. Yeah, and sometimes I get on 60s, but after like three songs, I realize, it's a long time ago. Enough already. But I did see, when I turned on the car and I went to the radio, about a week and a half ago, I saw Mandy. And I put it on, and I turned it up as loud as I could just to just bathe in Mandy for a while. Because it happens to be a tour de force. I mean, it really is. Mandy is a total tour de force. I think it's the first big song that Barry Manilow ever had. And then what was interesting about Barry Manilow as he made the rounds on the talk shows was he wrote a lot of the commercial jingles.
Yes.
Like at 8 or 10 famous commercial jingles, Barry Manilow wrote those things.
Yes.
And so I found that interesting. And until I had my bad times with Barry Manilow, I let me say it's not necessarily for me, like Weekend in New England, they all begin to sound the same. It's not necessarily for me. But every once in a while, when you're in one of those moods and you want something big and operatic and sort of plain and simple as if it solves all your problems, Barry Manilow singing about somebody somewhere that's important, Mandy is it. Mandy's the one. I sort of have a longing for Mandy.
And some of those commercial jingles, like A Good Neighbor, the State Farm, Band-Aid Stuck On, remember that Stuck On Band-Aid?
Yes.
Band-Aid Stuck On You. Grab a Bucket of Chicken for KFC, Pepsi Feeling Free, McDonald's, You Deserve a Break Today.
If you had that one, right, if you had You Deserve a Break Today, you're going to be paid millions of dollars for the rest of your life.
Yes.
I mean, if you got that.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Ladies and gentlemen, the evening is over. We hope you all enjoyed yourselves, and we'll see you all again in 1974. Good evening!
Well, life, it seems, is getting less and less predictable, and everything is changing more with time. You stay the same and every circumstance, you're always good, so every time I think it's over, I will sing a song of you, how you conquered all life's trials.
If I